Turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians. I taught this morning in Sunday school dealing with 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and I want to continue in the worship service, try to help us today in looking at the Scripture, what the Bible has to say concerning many events and many things that people are asking questions about. And we talked about this morning and in Sunday school, and so many people are asking. And by the way, let me say this, we're still here. For those that said that the world was going to end on September 23rd, newsflash, today's September 24th. Amen, we're still here. But with that being said, there's been so many questions about the end times, prophecy, tribulation period. People are wondering if the church is going through a portion of the tribulation period. What's going to happen in the end times and the rapture of the church? The word rapture is not in the Bible. And how do you know that these things are going to happen? And what gives you the authority to say such a thing? And all these kinds of things are being said. And I want to try to shed some light on that this morning. Again, I did in Sunday school, and I want to do it again today just for the simple fact that it is the biblical truth, and we stand on Bible truth. Amen? And I want to try to help the church. I want to try to help you as an individual to be able to give an answer for every man. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we mentioned in Sunday school that the Scripture tells us we ought to have an answer for every man of the hope that is within us. And if someone asked you, how do you know that the world's not going to end on such and such a day? You have an answer. If someone asked you when the world is going to end, you'll have an answer. When is the church going to be raptured out? You'll have an answer. Amen? We ought to know these things because Paul said in the Scriptures, brethren, I'd have you not be ignorant. And we ought not to be ignorant to the things that are coming in the future events. And a lot of people have questions about that. I had a young man to send me a message on Facebook. And Miss Linda sent me another young man that had a question about the end time prophecy and things like that. He sent me several things asking what I thought about certain events, and especially the 23rd of the end of the world. I said, don't believe it. Amen. Don't believe it. The world is trying to confuse people. There's a lot of false teaching, a lot of false prophecy, a lot of false doctrine in our day. So I want to help us all this morning and try just to touch on a few things. Nothing else, just to be a reminder. Amen. If you know this already, wonderful. I'm glad that you do. If you've got this settled in your heart and your mind and you know these Scriptures, that's a wonderful thing. But there may be somebody here that don't know that. Amen. And this will help you. And you can take notes. We're recording it. It'll be on CD. It'll also be on sermon audio, hopefully later. But just going to deal with some events, biblical evidence of the events that's going to take place. And we base everything off the truth of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians, we'll start reading in verse number 4, or chapter number 4, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. And we're going to start reading verse number 12. Verse number 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 12, that ye walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those are talking about those that are not saved by the grace of God, which have no hope. We that are saved by the grace of God have hope. Amen. Not hope that I'm saved, but I know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt I am saved. And I hope today is the day that Jesus comes. Amen. That's our hope. The hope is He's coming, not when He's coming, but He's coming. I know that He's coming. I hope today is today. Amen. So the Bible says in verse 13, for have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not Paul's writing. This is not, well, it's Paul's writing, but it's not Paul's thinking. This is by the word of the Lord. Where did he get his information from? It's not something that he conjured up. It's not something that he dreamed. He didn't have some vision and write this down. This is the word of the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which gives it authority, it gives it authenticity. Amen. It is real. It is by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Watch verse number 1, chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Hey, listen, I said in Sunday school, I'll say again this morning for the worship service, we're not looking at times and seasons. We're not looking at hurricanes and storms. We're not looking at all this stuff. We're looking for the Son of Man. Amen. That's what we're looking for. You can read about the hurricanes and be worried about the hurricanes if you want to be. Hurricanes and the tornadoes and all the events of nature doesn't scare me. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking for the Son of Man. Amen. I'm looking for God's Son who will come in the clouds to bring us up. Chapter number 4, verse 17, to be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's what I'm looking for. But Paul says to the church, but of the times and the seasons have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we're not of the night nor are the darkness. Now let me say this, that's speaking to all those that are saved of the church. Amen. That's who is of the children of light and the children of day. Let us not to sleep, verse number 6, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Watch this now. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Here in this verse of Scripture, we find that the rapture of the church must take place before the tribulation period. There's several beliefs dealing with the tribulation and also dealing with the rapture. There's the rapture of God's children, then there's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The day of Christ in the Bible, as I said in Sunday school, is the day of the rapture. That's when the church will meet Christ in the air. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. When is the rapture going to take place? It's imminent. That means at any moment, at any time. The next major event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Daniel chapter number 9, the 69 weeks of Daniel, the 70 weeks of Daniel that is talked about there, mentioned in those scriptures. 69 weeks is dealing with Israel. There's a break in that. Between the 69th and 70th week, that's the church age. That's where we are. We're church age believers. The door's been opened to the Gentiles of the church age to provoke Israel to jealousy, that they may come to know Jesus Christ. That's where we are. God does not deal with the church in the tribulation period. The church is raptured. The church is taken out to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Amen. We, the church, make up the bride of Christ. Nothing's going to happen to the bride of Christ, amen, during the tribulation period, because we will not be here during that time. The Scripture is plain with that, and we should not have to worry about that. Paul says to the Thessalonians in chapter number, or the second book of Thessalonians in chapter number 2, that they should not be shaken in mind or troubled over these events that they've heard of things that are to come, because we know that Jesus Christ will take the church out first. Amen. There's several things I want to share with you. At the rapture, there's two things that will transpire. First of all, the dead in Christ will be resurrected. Hallelujah. Amen. If you die, listen, I'll say many times, we talk about death and dying. There's two ways to go. It's either by the clods or by the clouds. Amen. And so if I go by the clods, don't be all upset and worried about me. There's coming a resurrection day. Hallelujah. My soul will be ever present with the Lord. There ain't nothing but an old body laying there in the ground. Amen. And the Bible says all those that have already passed away, their soul is to be ever present with the Lord if they're saved, and the body, amen, will be resurrected. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive and remaining will be called up or raptured to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. The translation of the living saints is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the corruptible and mortal body being instantly changed into an incorruptible and an immortal body. And And listen, in 1 Thessalonians, the dead in Christ are with Him in heaven. They're not sleeping in the grave, as some cults like to teach. They're with the Lord. The rapture is the believer's hope, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It is what we are looking forward to. Amen. The rapture is what we're looking forward to. Stay with me. We're not looking for the Antichrist. Amen. We're not looking for the tribulation period to begin. We're not looking for that. We're looking for the Son of Man to come in the clouds to take us home. Amen. That's what we're looking for. The rapture is certain. As I said, it's imminent in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It is as sure as Christ is resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. It is the word of the Lord. God said it. God meant it. And if anybody tries to tell you anything different, they're calling God a liar. Amen. And my Bible tells me my God cannot lie. That's not one of His attributes. Hallelujah. He cannot lie, and He will not lie, and He does not lie. And so if they tell you anything different outside of the Scriptures, they're calling Him a liar and saying they're smarter than He is. So I doubt that very seriously. Amen. There's evidence, biblical evidence, in the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, I know some people are confused about that, and I want to help us all with that this morning. But before I do, let us go to the Lord in prayer before I get wrapped up in this evidence of the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the wonderful privilege You've given us this morning to be in Your house. I pray, God, Lord, You'd bless our time together as we study the precious Word of God. I pray, Lord, You'd open up our hearts of understanding. And Lord, the Scripture we understand says that we're to have an answer for every man. Lord, we're to be able to explain that hope that is within us. I pray, God, You'd help us to realize the importance of knowing the Scripture, knowing the truth, and not being drawn away by some lies, cunning men and crafty works that they do and prophesying wickedness and ungodliness. I pray, God, You'd help us to stand on truth, stand on right in a day when it seems like so many throwing in the towel and quitting on You. I pray, God, You'd strengthen us, You'd encourage us, Lord, tonight or this morning, and touch us and help us and be with us. Meet with us, Father, I pray, and help me as the messenger this morning. Give me wisdom, give me words, Lord, to say that's pleasing in Your sight. I'll thank You and I'll praise You for all that You do in Jesus' love. In the name I pray. Amen. As we look at this evidence of the pre-tribulation rapture, among those who believe in a literal rapture of the church saints, there are three general positions. There is the pre-tribulation, which is what we believe. I believe the pre-tribulation rapture, that the rapture takes place before the tribulation period. That's what we believe. But then there's the mid-tribulation believers that believe that the church will go through the first 3.5 years of tribulation before the rapture. Now, I don't understand how they can believe that or how they can even say that, because Thessalonians, as Paul is writing to the church, first of all, he tells them not to be ignorant. Amen. But then he tells them to comfort you one another with these words. Those words that were right after he says that, right before he says that, is that those that are alive and remain shall be called up to meet with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Right after that he says, so wherefore comfort you one another with these words. How can it be comforting to know that the church is going to go through the first 3.5 years of tribulation? If you study Revelation, which we've been doing, and its wickedness, Satan has been loosed on the earth in chapter number 9, and the demons have been turned loose, and there's all kinds of torment and horror and famine and sickness and death and all kinds of things are going on there. There's no way in this world there's comfort found in that for the believer. Amen? You don't find comfort in that. That's discouraging. Hey, that makes me want to run to the altar, amen, and run to somebody that's lost and say, hey, listen, you better listen to the Word of God and get saved and accept Christ as your Savior, because the wrath of God, it's on its way. Amen. It ought to encourage us. But listen, there's some that believe in a mid-tribulation rapture, which says that the church will go through the first half of the 70th week of Daniel. And that's not going to take place. You can't prove that by Scripture. Some like to twist the Scripture to make it say what they want it to say. But you can't prove that. Paul said, comfort one another. Amen. I'm comforted this morning knowing that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen. And then the Bible also says in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that God has not appointed us to wrath. Amen. It's not for the church to go through the wrath of God. It's for the rejecters, those that reject truth, those that reject God. They'll go through the wrath of God. The tribulation period, the Bible says, is the wrath of God, which goes upon man that rejects the word of God. And so the church age will not, or the church will not go through that wrath. The scripture says, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That salvation is not soul salvation, but it's salvation from the wrath to come. Amen. We're raptured out. We're called up to meet the Lord in the air. That's pre-tribulational, amen, rapture. The mid-tribulation says they believe that the church goes through half of it. Then there's the post-tribulational, which says the church age saints will go through the entire tribulation period. Somebody said back in 2000, when 2001, when the Twin Towers fell? Oh, we're living in Revelation chapter number 18 because it talks about the two towers that's going to fall and they fail. So we're living in Revelation 18. Well, I have news for you, honey. The tribulation period ain't but 7 years long, and that's been how many years ago? 16 years ago? Yeah, I believe they missed the mark, don't you? Amen. There's the pre-tribulation, the mid-tribulation, and then the post-tribulation. Church age believers are promised salvation from wrath. Let me give you some scripture that'll help you. The Bible says in Psalms 110, verse number 5, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. In the tribulation period, he's going to send wrath upon the world. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 through 13, how ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint. Every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. How in the world could that be dealing with the church with its cruel and fierce anger in his wrath to lay the land desolate and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. There's hurricanes, there's earthquakes going on in our day. We know that if we're watching the news and listening to that, we know the things are happening all around us. Honey, it ain't nothing like what it's going to be when the church is raptured out. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16 said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The church will not be in that area of tribulation. Amen. Revelation chapter 14, some shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. There is coming the wrath of God upon this world, but the church will not be here. We're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation, hallelujah, by our Lord Jesus Christ. The great tribulation is expressly called the day of God's wrath. Today the Lord is withholding his anger. He's seated upon a throne of grace, but the day approaches when he'll take the seat of judgment. And when judgment begins, it's not on the church, but it's on the wicked and godly world. The day of his wrath will be upon all the world. I just read those verses to you. I'm not going to read them again. It is true that in every century, Bible-believing churches have been subject to persecution. This is different than the great tribulation. It's different in the tribulation period and the great tribulation. We have the beginning of the tribulation period after the church is raptured up. There's 3.5 years of sorrows. That's the beginning of sorrows, the scripture says. Then at the middle of that 3.5 years, or the middle of the 7 years after the first 3.5 years, right in the middle of that, Satan's going to say, you can no longer worship your God. You've got to worship me. Daniel calls that the abomination of desolation. That's what it is when Satan, the Antichrist, comes on the scene and says that he's God and you must worship him. And listen, that starts the great tribulation period. There's destruction. There's devastation upon the earth. The earth is destroyed. The rivers are destroyed. The salt water, the fresh water, the fish, and things all around the world is destroyed. And God's poured out his anger on the earth, and the church will not go through such a thing. Boy, that ought to make us shout this morning. Amen. Scriptures promise that the church age believers' deliverance from wrath, that must refer to the salvation out of the presence of wrath and concerning the tribulation. Luke chapter 21 verse 35, a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Therefore, church age believers must either be physically removed or they will be involved in the day of wrath. The Bible says that wrath's going to be upon all men and all that's on the face of the earth. So if the church is still here, then the church would have to go through that. There's only one explanation. They've been removed. Hallelujah. We'll be removed. I'm not going to deal with the Spirit, this Holy Spirit this morning. I talked about that some in Sunday school this morning, but dealing with the tribulation beliefs and the rapture beliefs and the tribulation beliefs, there's no way possibly that you can take the Scripture and prove that the church will go through such a thing. Let me read to you as I did this morning in Sunday school. I'm going to read this verse again, or a few verses again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." That gathering together unto him is no more, nothing else but the rapture. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And the day of Christ we mentioned in Sunday school is nothing more than the rapture. The day of the Lord is the revelation. That's when he sits down on the earth. That's when he comes to set things in order and destroys evil once and for all. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The day of Christ is the rapture. That must take place first. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first and the son of sin be revealed, a son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Hey, listen, that hasn't took place. Listen, we don't know who the Antichrist is. We may have some thoughts of who he might be. A lot of folks thought it was Obama, but it wasn't. Amen. The church is still here. We're not looking for the Antichrist. Why are we not looking for the Antichrist? Because we're not going to be here. It's none of our concern. Amen. Other than the fact that we need to let the world know that that's going to take place. That's going to happen. The son of perdition is going to come on the scene and try to explain away everything that took place when the church is raptured out. Whenever that takes place, for the first 3.5 years, he's going to let Israel go back to Jerusalem, let them worship their God. Then the Bible says he opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. That's the desolation of abomination of desolations. That's in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation. That's when Antichrist does that, and we're not there. We don't have to worry about that. We're not looking for that to take place because the church won't be here. Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible says, "Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." The Holy Spirit is the what in that verse of Scripture, who is withholding the wickedness and the ungodliness from this present world that we're living in. This is the day of grace, some people like to say. I don't like to use that terminology, this being the day of grace, because the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and there's always been grace in God's eyes. Amen. But this is the church age. This is the day that we try to share with people the grace of God, the mercy of God, the importance, the urgency, that if you do not accept the Lord Jesus Jesus Christ as your Savior. When Jesus comes in the clouds, the earth will not see Him. Only the church would see that. They'll meet Him in the clouds. Those that are dead will go first. Those that are alive and remain shall meet them in the air. And nobody on this earth will understand except the Antichrist will try to explain it. And everybody's going to believe a lie. Strong delusion, the Scripture says, that God will send. Hey, someone asked me the other day, said, "Preacher, what happens after the rapture of the church? Will there be a second chance?" My friend, the answer to that is no. There will not be a second chance. If they will not believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, when the Holy Spirit is in the world now, working the work that He does, restraining the powers of sin, restraining the works of the devil as He does. And listen, if they will not believe it now when He's moved out of the way, they definitely will not believe it. There will be no Holy Spirit conviction. The Bible says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, which is the Holy Spirit, which restrains till he is taken, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed," that's the Antichrist, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Hallelujah. He's only going to have a little power for a little time. God's going to destroy him. But there will be a time when that takes place. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And all the deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Listen, we're living in a day and an hour with so much ignorance. People rather believe a lie than believe the truth. Someone says the other day, I was talking to another gentleman about eschatology, things to come, and they begin to tell me what they had been taught all their life. And I said, listen, the problem with that is that's the tradition of men. The Bible doesn't back that up. The Bible doesn't say that the church would go through any part of the tribulation. The Bible's plain, the Bible is truth, and it's simple, and it just says the church will be raptured out before that begins. And so I was never taught that. I have a hard time understanding that. I don't have a hard time understanding the Word of God. Amen. Dismiss that mess you've been taught. Hey, listen, sometimes we have to retrain people. Amen. And have to share with them, this is what God says in His Word. Man is not smarter than God. You yourself are not smarter than God. God cannot, will not, does not lie. And He said in His Word, these things must take place. And then those things begin the tribulation period. Amen. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 11. "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth." Preacher, will someone get saved after the rapture of the church? What did the Bible say? This ain't McMillanology. This is the Word of God. The Bible says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Let me explain a little something to you real quickly about that verse of Scripture. That doesn't mean that we're predestined to be saved. That's not Calvinistic. That's not Calvinism. That says God knows exactly who's going to be saved, when they're going to be saved. That's not what that verse is teaching us or telling us, but that God had offered man a choice and man could accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereto He called you by our gospel." You heard the gospel and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ through the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore, brethren," watch this, "steadfast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even the Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation, the good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Amen. Stay faithful to the Word. The Bible doesn't teach the mid-tribulation rapture. It doesn't teach the post-tribulation rapture. But the Bible preaches and teaches us that we are pre-tribulation raptured. Amen. That's what we believe. The book of Revelation shows that the church is not on the earth during the tribulation period. After chapter number 3 of the book of Revelation, the church is removed. Amen. The scene in chapter number 4 goes to heaven. And from then on, it's dealing with Israel. It's not dealing with the church. Other than the fact that they're seen gathered around the throne. The 24 elders represents the church. Amen. And they're gathered around the throne. The ministry in Revelation chapter number 11 of two witnesses identifies them with Israel and with the day of the Lord. The two witnesses minister from Jerusalem, which is Israel's capital. The churches have no such capital. Amen. And their hope being heavenly, not earthly. The two witnesses are clothed in sackcloth, typical of the Old Testament Israel, not New Testament believers. Nowhere are the churches seen in sackcloth. They are told, the church is told in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What do we got to rejoice about? We're not going through the tribulation. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody help me. We're not going through the tribulation. We got a lot to shout about. We got a lot to be happy about. Oh, preacher, you just don't know the woes that I'm going through. You ain't seen nothing what the world's going to see after the church is raptured out. You've got a whole lot of reasons to shout this morning. Amen. Church age believers' judgments forever past, and he is to keep his mind centered on heavenlies, where in position he is seated eternally victorious with Christ, not because of your righteousness, but because of his. Revelation 11 verse 4 identifies the two witnesses with the Old Testament prophecy. The two witnesses called down judgment upon their enemies in Revelation chapter 10 verse 5 and 6. And Jesus rebuked his disciples for desiring to do this very thing and instructed the church age believer to pray for the well-being of their enemies and not for their destruction. No way the church is in tribulation period. The devil persecutes Israel, not the church. During the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 12, there can be no doubt that the woman in this chapter is Israel. Chapter 12 verse 5 shows the woman bringing forth Christ. It is obvious that Jesus was brought forth by Israel and not by the church. The symbols of Revelation chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 recall familiar Old Testament typology of Israel. She is referred to as a woman, Isaiah chapter 54. The sun and moon and the 12 stars of Revelation chapter 12 reminds us of Joseph's dream of Israel in Genesis 37. The words of Revelation chapter 12 verse 2 are almost an exact quote from Micah chapter 5 verse number 3, again referencing Israel's delivery of the Messiah. Jesus Christ didn't come from the church. He came from Israel. Amen. These symbols are not used in the New Testament of the church. The church does not show up in these areas dealing with Israel. For these and many other reasons, we are convinced that the rapture of the New Testament saints will occur before the onset of the 70th week of Daniel. The rapture is the next major event on God's prophetic calendar. Amen. We need to know that. We need to believe that. The importance of the pre-tribulational rapture. Why is that so important? First of all, the doctrine of that is very important. Christ, Paul, James, Peter taught that the return of Christ is imminent, is to be expected at any moment, at any time. Boy, if we live our life as though today, this hour, this very minute, Christ could come. If we'd get serious about that and think about that, I think we'd live a different life. Somebody help me right there. Amen. And we'd live our life like today's the day, this moment's the moment that Christ could come. The early Christians lived in expectation of Christ's return. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. They lived in expectation. They said, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were looking for the Savior. Amen. They were looking for him to come. The doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture should be a motivator for our Christian life. Let me give you a few things real quickly and I'll hush. It encourages the believer in trials and persecutions. Hey, we ain't seen nothing. Your trials, your persecutions, and your hard times and your laboring, you ain't seen nothing to what the world's going to face during the tribulation. It should encourage us. during our trials and persecutions. It keeps the church's focus on the Great Commission. Boy, we need to be busy about inviting folks to church and telling souls how they can be saved. Hey, listen, the end of time could be at any moment, at any time. I sure hate for my loved ones to go out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd hate for my friends and my co-workers to die and go to the devil's. And I realize, and I've said this so many times before, and I know you know this, and I realize everybody's not going to listen to us, but we've got to do our part and spread the news, because the hour's late, the urgency is great. It should motivate us to be busy in the Lord's work. It should motivate us to live obedient lives, and it should motivate us to live separate from evil. Keeps the believer on the lookout for heresy and apostasy. The days are not the days to start believing lies. The day is not the day to start turning from what you know to be truth. Hey, the day is today is to seek the Word of God and study and know truth, that we can share truth with others, that they won't be taken away by the deception of the devil. He's out to kill, to steal, and destroy. And God has given us the opportunity in the church age to know truth and to share truth. This ought to encourage us, amen, that the rapture is coming very soon. Soon and very soon. Amen. I understand, and most people have said, and some of the posts I've seen, they said, well, no man knows the day nor the hour, and that's true. No man does. We see that several times in Scripture. No man knows today, no man knows the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We understand that, but don't stop there. Don't stop with that. That's such an empty response. Well, no man knows today nor the hour. That's truth, but that's an empty response. Help them to understand the rest of the story. Amen. The rest of the account of the Bible, what's going to take place next. The next major event on God's calendar, it's not the destruction of the world. The world's not going to explode in some big bang as they think it come into existence. That's not going to happen. What's the next major thing? It's the rapture, or the calling out of the church. That must take place first. Then the tribulation period begins, and all those things dealing with Israel will begin to come into play. That's got to happen. Then there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. So there's at least 1,007 years before the world's going to be destroyed. We ought to know these things. Amen? And share that with somebody else. I hope this is an encouragement to us all this morning. We do not believe in the mid-tribulation rapture. We don't believe in the post-tribulation rapture. The Scripture does not back that up. We believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, that God can come at any moment, at any time, and take us out of here. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. We should be looking forward to that, looking for the Son of Man to come and telling others that He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Preacher, how long do I have? James said, our life is like a vapor. You're only here for a little while, then it vanishes away. People dying every second and going into hell. The hour's great, and so's the need. The need is so great to know the truth and to share that with somebody else, that souls may be saved and lives changed in these, the last days of the church. Amen. Hope this is a help to you. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I don't want to try to discourage and get you down. I want you to understand what we believe, where we're at in the time frame of God. And we're looking for the rapture. We're looking for the Son of God. We're not looking for some spectacular events or some natural disaster. That's not what we're looking for. People have asked me at work, said, Preacher, what do you think about the hurricanes and all that, and these earthquakes? What do you think about all that? And I said, what am I supposed to think about all that? I said, man, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking for the Son of God. I'm looking for the rapture of the church. And they said, what does that mean? I said, I wish I had the time. I wish I had a Bible. We could just sit down. I said, if you want to really know, I said, I'll sit down and take my Bible and I'll show you. And I'll explain it to you. Of course, they turned me off. They don't want all that. They want a quick answer. Man wants a quick answer. We don't have a quick answer. Except for Jesus is coming soon. You better get ready. You better get ready. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us this morning to be in Your house.